Morning's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold, and after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you both. Janet is already here. I'd ask her to come and speak to us. So let's pray for Janet. Father God, what a joy it is to come and worship you together on this another beautiful day you have given us. We thank you for Janet and all that she does tirelessly for this church and beyond, and especially in this midweek gathering. We pray that this can only get larger as more and more decide to join our fellowship. Now we ask a very special blessing on Janet, and that you fill her with your Holy Spirit as she brings us your word. And we ask that, as we have just sung, that you speak to our hearts of the truth that is your gospel. So we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brian, thank you very much. Thank you. Brian, you remembered all the notices correctly. That was brilliant, except he missed one. And that is, there are no birthdays this week, but there is a birthday on Monday, and it's Brian's himself. So, Brian, happy birthday for next Monday. Thank you. I've been given one of the most difficult passages ever. So if you've got the yellow sheets, you can have that in front of you. But it's a really difficult passage. We have started a new series on holiness. And last week, Paul, I think, started us off thinking about what does it mean to be a community that is holy. It says in Leviticus, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Peter writes in 1 Peter, "Just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do." It's written, "Be holy, because I am holy." And I think last week he said, holy, hagios in Greek, means distinct, set apart, separate. And last week, I think Paul talked about that concave holiness where you sort of bend inwards and withdraw. Oh, we don't do that, and we don't do that, and we don't do that. Rather than the better, the convex holiness that bends outwards and moves towards other people. It's so easy to think that in Acts, the early church was perfect, and wasn't everything wonderful? Well, they didn't always get everything right. And we've got this fairly shocking story now in Acts chapter 5. So what's just happened? Acts 2, the Holy Spirit has come. There's lots of Holy Spirit, there's lots of tongues and healing and prayer and worship and helping each other and sharing their possessions. So just before Acts 5, it says in Acts 4, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had. And then it goes on to say, there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. God's grace was powerfully seen in the early church. It says there was no needy person. People still lived in their houses, but they would share their possessions. And if they had spare property or land, they could choose to sell it and put it in the communal pot. And we come now to Acts 5. It's a really difficult story. It's the first time, other than Sunday morning, I've ever had to preach on this passage. And it's about how seriously God takes that call to be holy, to be a holy community. It's a story of a couple. There's a man called Ananias and a woman called Sapphira, and they join the early Christian church. Three double S's: serious sin, supernatural insight, shocking sequel. So we're going to think first about serious sin. So have a look at those first two verses. A man named Ananias with Sapphira sold a bit of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, brought the rest, and put it at the apostles' feet. The sin was that they lied and they deceived. They cheated. They pretended to be really holy. And they're condemned for their hypocrisy. They lied and they covered up their lie. And the lie was that this is all the money we got for selling that property. That's what they lied about. Sin is serious. Telling lies is wrong. And it saddens me how in modern culture people often say, it's just a little white lie. It was just a fib, as if it doesn't matter. But lying does matter, and it's wrong. I've been watching a documentary at the moment on the rise and fall of Boris Johnson. Any of you been watching it with me? And again, it's just interesting, this culture of lying, what people lie about these days. And there's a warning, I think, here in this passage on telling the truth. And it's made really clear it was their deception that was wrong. They pretended to give all the money, the full amount. This is before the days of Zoopla, when you could look up and find out how much a property actually sold for. What Ananias and Sapphira did was they tried to gain the credit for this great personal sacrifice they made in giving all of the money. But they gave the impression they'd been more generous than they were. And it got me thinking about my own life and my own sins. And I thought, do I ever try and claim the credit for something that isn't really mine, or give the impression I'm a bit holier than I am? And it made me think about something recently, actually, when we heard about this Kenyan lecturer I knew called Reverend Jane, who needed a cataract operation. And I knew she had links with All Saints Church, so I asked All Saints Church to raise money for her cataract operation, which they did. And I found myself telling other people, we raised money for Reverend Jane. We were able to, because I was so pleased, we were able to send her this money for the operation. And I didn't exactly lie, but looking back, I gave the impression that I had done it, and I hadn't, and I didn't correct that assumption. Sin is serious. God is so holy. God loved the world so much, he gave us Jesus, But God is holy, and sin is serious. The rules do apply to us. Do not lie. It's the last commandment, isn't it? Do not bear false witness. So that's a serious sin. So let's move on and look at verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, how is it Satan's filled your heart? You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've kept for yourself some of the money you received. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? Wasn't the money at your disposal once you sold it? You have not lied just to humans, but to God. Peter, this is St. Peter, leader of the early church, the apostle. He had supernatural insight or supernatural sight. He just knew that the money being given wasn't the full amount. He had what we'd call a word of knowledge. It's a spiritual gift. It's when the Spirit speaks really clearly to someone and they know something that on a human level, how could they possibly have known that? But Peter had this supernatural insight from the Holy Spirit. He couldn't have known for himself it wasn't all the money. But Peter makes really clear that Ananias wasn't forced to sell his land. It was voluntary. It wasn't even compulsory to hand all the money over to the apostles. But the fact is, Ananias lied. He lied to them. He lied to God. He pretended he'd handed over all the proceeds. And Peter's words make really clear that the Holy Spirit has told him. The Holy Spirit is divine, and that's whom he has offended by sinning. Thinking about people handing over money and seeing what they gave, it reminded me, do you remember the olden days of the collection plate? Anyone remember that? I expect a lot of us do. And you could see what people gave. And it was quite embarrassing, and you could see who was putting what in. And then we moved to envelopes. Do you remember that? And now we've moved to most people give now by direct debit. I've put the card reader there at the back, by the way. It's all done quietly. And one of the reasons is so people can't boast or look and see what others are giving, that we keep it private. God sees our hearts. He sees our motives. He sees our actions. In Hebrews 4, the writer says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Just think about that. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I find that quite scary, really. Nothing is hidden from God. Jesus says in John's Gospel, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be seen plainly what they've done has been done in the sight of God. This story in the New Testament is actually mirrors a story or two in the Old Testament where people were found out for lying and for their sins. Do you remember the Battle of Jericho? You remember all that going round and round the walls 7 times? Walls come down, Joshua and the army swoops in. They're told to destroy everything in Jericho. They do that, and then something goes wrong. The next attack against Ai goes wrong. And they say to God, why did that happen? Because one person had cheated and deceived and not completely destroyed what they found in Jericho. Somebody called Achan, a man called Achan, he took a beautifully embroidered mantle, some gold and silver, and buried it. And Joshua has that spiritual insight we're talking about from God and calls out Achan and his family, and they all ended up getting stoned in the valley of Achor. The family suffer because of Achan's sin. God is holy. We're called to be holy. Our sins will find us out. That comes from Numbers 32. You may be sure, Numbers says, your sin will find you out. So sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives that spiritual insight. We can end up deceiving ourselves, but we can't deceive God. When I was preparing this, I came across a commentary by John Stott that talked about when sins are secret, deal with them secretly. Private sins need dealing with in private, but public sins need dealing with publicly. And this was a public sin because the deception took place in front of everybody. They could all see them pretending this was the right amount. So, serious sin, supernatural sight, shocking sequel. And this is shocking. Verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. He dropped dead. A great fear seized all who heard what had happened, and then they come and bury him. And then 3 hours later, his wife comes in, and Peter checks with her first, is this the price you got for the land? Is this the full amount? And she lies and says, yes. And he says, how could you conspire to test? She falls down, verse 10, at his feet and died. Great fear seized the whole church, verse 11. I did warn you, didn't I? It was a difficult passage. It's a shocking sequel. First Ananias, then Sapphira, drop dead. Was it the shock of being found out? Was it a heart attack? I don't know, but they died instantly. Sapphira was given the chance of telling the truth, as was Ananias, but she lied and suffered the consequences. God cannot be mocked. Sin will be found out. And sometimes God's judgment is immediate. In 2 Samuel 6, do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant is being transported on the back of an ox cart and it starts, the oxen stumble, and Uzzah disobeys God's law and he touches the ark to steady it and he dies. It's really a visible sign of God's holiness. God struck him down, if you like, for irreverence. So great fear, we're told, seized the church. A great fear, a holy fear. God is holy. Sometimes judgment is immediate, and this passage shows us that sometimes people suffer the consequences of their sin immediately. Sometimes I might wish that other people suffered the consequences immediately, but sometimes it seems judgment is delayed. And sometimes I say to God, well, why didn't you act in that case when you did in this case? But judgment will come eventually. It might come soon, like it did here, or it will come later, but it will come. Jesus will come again, and he will judge us. So right at the end, it says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. It's the first time the word church or ecclesia is used in Acts, and it means the gathering of the called out ones, the ones called out to be a holy community. And it's a reminder, there's no cheap grace. Jesus died for our sins, and the church is called to be distinct and holy. Jesus died on the cross for our forgiveness. John 3:16, this was the gospel on Sunday. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There is a way back. We can say sorry and be forgiven. And that's why every single Wednesday we always say the confession together. We have a chance to put ourselves right before God. So as I finish now, let's think again. Sin is serious, serious sin. Lying does matter. Holiness matters. Serious sin. Supernatural sight. God sees what really you and I do in private, what people say and do and think. And occasionally, he gives that gift of knowledge, that word of knowledge to people, that supernatural insight. God sees us. And finally, that shocking sequel, that God's judgment comes. It may come quickly, it may be delayed. So as I finish now, let's just reflect on God's holiness. We're called to be a pure people. We're called to be known for our integrity. And as we look at our different politicians, there are some that you really respect. You think they have a lot of integrity. Whereas the some that you may not have respect for, you think they tell a lot of lies, they deceive, they pretend they're better than they are. So we as the church are the temple of the living God. He lives in us, he is holy, and we are called to be a holy people. Amen. In a moment, Brian will come up and introduce the last hymn, but I suggest we just stay quiet for a minute or two and just reflect on what is God saying to me about holiness.